Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The perfect game. One of the more fun playoff games, I think, ever for a lot of Bills fans. Funny enough, though, Josh, I had no thoughts going into that game. It was the 21 season was kind of weird. It was not the 20 season by any means. You know, the overtime loss in Tampa and stuff like that. It did not have the same feel. By the end of that game, it was like they can beat anybody. And then, of course, 13 seconds happens just a week later. And even in that game, the offense looked unbelievable. Potentially, we have another 13-type-second matchup coming up this Sunday. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are you dealing with so many days still left between this game? I feel like I'm already on edge.
Yeah, listen, it's a good question because I was kind of tired of the kind of toxicity of it all yesterday already.
Right.
And I'm trying not to kind of focus on that or look at that. You know, I'm trying to do my job, just kind of cover football. But, you know, when you live in a social media world and when you have these two fan bases that have been going at it about the MVP all year, and then you have this week, it just kind of, you know, ratcheted up. And then you have the whole, you know, Jerry Coleman thing, the reporter in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You have people on social media making up stories that Matt Milano went on the radio out there and said things about Lamar Jackson, stopping him. So then you had a Bills fan do the same thing here and make up something about Kyle Hamilton going in a magazine. It's just kind of been and some of that can be fun, right? I mean, I'm not saying like, oh my God, like, you know, trying not to be a party pooper. I get it. But it's just created a whole bunch of stuff that I think is not about the game. And I'm here for the game. And I'm all about, you know, trying to focus on what's going to happen Sunday. But I do believe that it's hard because of all those things. You know what I mean? And I hear where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick on the Jerry Coleman thing too. The teams actively avoid to have like any like, you know, a bulletin board material, anything like that. And like he himself posted after a question after Harbaugh in the video is kind of like, this is uncomfortable. Can we move on? Just foolish, I think, in a way. But Sal, to this game too, I feel like this is going to be an all-time crowd for this Bills game with all the storylines, with, as you brought up, how toxic it has kind of been, but with maybe sort of the storyline of, you know, is Allen taking the MVP or is Lamar taking the MVP from Allen and all this stuff, and both teams sort of having these quote-unquote playoff failures to their name. I can't wait. I we've been talking about it for a few weeks here. I think legacies are going to be, to a certain extent, almost fixed with the winner of this game and another team just it's going to be tough to recover from a loss like this, and both teams are worthy.
Yeah, they'll certainly be dug in. I mean, I don't know if you ever get fixed. You know, I grew up a little before you while John Elway and Dan Marino and Jim Kelly never won Super Bowls, and that was what stuck with them. And Kelly lost 4 in a row, and Elway lost 3. And then suddenly, late in his career, Elway wins 2, right? So his legacy changes completely. But it took him until he was in his mid to late 30s before anything like that happened. But I agree with you that what we have now and how these teams and quarterbacks and coaches are perceived, I think that, you know, regardless of what happens on Sunday, and maybe not regardless, but going to kind of stick with someone here in that same regard. And the way I've looked at it is, if it's the Ravens who lose, I think it will be... Now, unless Lamar just plays lights out and they lose, that could mm-hmm. happen for sure, you know? But I feel like John Harbaugh, because he has a Super Bowl, has kind of been the one that hasn't really gone to him, but it has gone to Lamar because he's had poorer playoff performances, right? And that's kind of something he has to overcome. On the other side, I think it's the opposite. For the Bills, if they were to lose this game, Josh Allen, almost regardless of how he plays, I don't think that it gets attached to him as much as does Sean McDermott because of how playoff performances have gone in the past, right? If all that makes sense. So I think that that's a really interesting scenario between the two fan bases and nationally and how these two organizations and those four men are perceived.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. A few weeks ago, maybe even a month and a half ago, before the playoffs really got going, teams were starting to clinch spots. I listened to the Colin Cowherd, John Middlecalf podcast a lot, and both men mentioned, you know, again, before the playoffs even were going, they assumed this was going to be the Sean McDermott, Lamar Jackson playoffs because those two kind of have, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's right or wrong, kind of have that on their name of, like, you're the reason this team hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. McDermott, of course, famously with 13 seconds, but there's been others. I mean, even last year with some of the personnel decisions, what have you, losing two straight home playoff games, not great for any head coach. And then for Jackson, you know, you've had the two seed once here. You've only made one AFC championship game, and he's had a lot of playoff failures to his name, bad games, not looking like
yeah.
the two-time MVP. I talk a lot about this on air, too. Like, I love the playoffs more than almost anything. I love legacy talk. I love all of this stuff. And this is where it comes into it, is games like this, where it's two guys at the peak of their powers, two really good teams, one, I think, more underrated than the other. But there is some potential injury notes to this as well. I mean, Zay Flowers maybe not going to play in this game. The Bills, for as healthy as they've been, there were some injury notes, you know, on Sunday as well. Yeah. It's going to be I can't wait for Sunday night.
Well, so let's get to it here. We'll hear from Sean McDermott in about 25 minutes from now down here at One Bills Drive. That's where I am. And Sean will be speaking to the media for his normal Wednesday, 12 p.m. press conference ahead of practice. The team will hold a walkthrough today, normal procedure here on a Wednesday. We'll hear from players afterward, including Josh Allen. McDermott will give us an update on Ray Davis. Will he participate today at all? I'm not sure. He is in the concussion protocol, obviously. You know, you have a week here to have him progress through the steps. If he's limited today, if Ray Davis is limited, I think that's a very encouraging sign. But of course, it doesn't guarantee anything. If he doesn't practice, obviously, you start to think that, you know, okay, well, that's obviously limited now, the number of days he has remaining to get back, but it also doesn't guarantee that he can't. On the other side, but we also have Alec Anderson to monitor. He has a calf injury. He's considered day-to-day. He did finish the game, it's notable, on Sunday after leaving the game with a calf injury and then, you know, going in at halftime a little early and then coming back out. And then the other one would be Brandon Codrington, obviously, who missed last week's game with a hamstring injury. Sean McDermott said on Monday he's improving. He did practice at the tail end of last week, so hopefully that means, and that's good news for him, practicing this week as well. On the other side, Zay Flowers is really the one we're watching for the Baltimore Ravens. I listened to John Harbaugh yesterday say, you know, there's what he doesn't have to practice all week in order to be able to play. They'll know more later in the week. So my guess is he won't practice today, but we'll see. I don't know, guys. Even if Zay Flowers plays, it feels like, you know, he would be pretty compromised based on kind of how they're talking about the injury and, you know, his situation.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, Sal, it's one of the things we were talking about most of this morning is like what happens with that Baltimore offense if they don't have Zay Flowers. And obviously Derrick Henry is still the standout there, but like if you're the Bills, what's your kind of game plan here? Like how do you plan for a guy like Derrick Henry, knowing that you also have to potentially plan for Mark Andrews, even Zay Flowers if he's there, and of course Lamar Jackson's rushing ability as well? I mean, the linebackers are going to have their work cut out for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that might be what you have to do, speaking of the linebackers, Josh, is maybe play more three linebackers, a more base set, 4-3. But, people have hypothesized that. I'm just not sure the Bills want to do that because they have Taron Johnson, who's amazing at his job. But he is smaller. He's a nickel corner. And it's not like you can't stop the run with Taron Johnson. Of course you can. But when they bring in their 300-plus pound fullback and they go a couple tight ends and they have Derrick Henry, you want to be able to have more beef on the field in response to that. So I do wonder if the Bills do that and they go with what would be Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, and my assumption would be Dorian Williams, at the strong side. We'll see. Maybe Joe Andreessen. He could play the strong side too, by the way. I mean, who knows? I'm just saying that it would probably be Williams because he also has the speed. If you want to spy on Lamar Jackson, he's done that before as well. Matt Milano has been used as a spy, to try and contain him at least a little. I'm not saying that straight line speed, that these guys are faster than Lamar, but at least try to contain him a little bit. So it's a tough call. Now, if Zay Flowers isn't available, maybe that alters how you do play it and say we're going to do more of that because, he's such a really good slot receiver. Taron Johnson, if he is playing, Taron Johnson, obviously you'd want him on him. So I do think that it matters here, and we'll see how it plays out on Sunday. But, that's what game planning and coaching is all about, and it's going to be a fascinating chess match.
Sal, both these teams wanted a blowout for wild card weekend, ultimately, outside of one game. It was a pretty rough watch if you're a neutral fan. Every game is kind of lopsided. But how much, if you're the Bills, can you really take from the Baltimore game? It felt a lot for that Pittsburgh game that Pittsburgh just was ill-prepared. I know a lot on the broadcast was talking about them just not having the typical, quote-unquote, Pittsburgh Steeler fight or anything like that. It's just, watching that game, for me, it just kind of felt like, yeah, they're a better team in Pittsburgh is the Pittsburgh Steelers lately in the playoffs. I had a tough time kind of taking anything from that game.
Yeah, me too. But I think from what I saw, though, regardless of that, and you're not wrong about that, I think Pittsburgh just wasn't up to the fight. Personnel-wise, we saw Pittsburgh kind of really not play their best football, I guess you'd say, over the last 6-7 weeks anyway, and we saw that going that way, or at least several weeks. But I think what you did see was, Baltimore came out and they were aggressive right away, and they went down the field and they scored. They scored again. I mean, it was, 21-7 or whatever it was pretty early in the game, or, early in the second half, whatever it was. It just felt like Baltimore just controlled the game from the get-go, and that's what the Bills can't have happen here, right? I think that this game is very important to me for the Bills. I don't think you have to necessarily, it'd be great to score early. Like, that'd be a really great thing for the Bills. Score early, get on top of them. But what you can't let happen is the Baltimore Ravens get on top of you, because then they start controlling the game with their run game, and you just can't let that happen. And if the Bills can put them, behind and the Bills lead, then I think that Baltimore has to play a little bit differently and can't do that with Derrick Henry. And remember last year in the AFC Championship, I know they didn't have Derrick Henry, but the Ravens were criticized heavily for abandoning the run very early in that game. And, I think that's what the situation you want to put them in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be a game where the first quarter might decide kind of how this game is going to look the rest of the way. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get ready for Sean McDermott, and we'll talk again soon.
All right.
That was...
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
See you, Sal. That was Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline, giving his thoughts here as we Wednesday is kind of like the official start of game week, with the Bills having off Tuesday. And this is kind of the start of, all right, here we go. We're rocking and rolling. I can't wait. I'm excited. And, I'm going to be a wreck by Friday. I can feel it. Yeah, Saturday's going to be a nightmare for me.
It's got that vibe.
Saturday, I'm just going to spend like my whole time at like the driving range. Just like anything to distract me, anything to like just like, because like even this past week for wild card round, like watching the games on Saturday, I was like on like the edge of my seat going like, all right, I'm ready for the Bills. I'm ready for Bills Denver. Let's go.
I think I might join you because I'm in the same boat. I have nothing to do. Yeah. There's no sport. Wait, did the Sabres play?
On Saturday?
Yeah. At least there'd be sports.
There would at least be sports. I mean, I always have college basketball as well. So
ooh, that's true.
I will always lean to them. But for Saturday, they do not.
Mm.
Friday, they do. Against Pittsburgh. Are they home against Pittsburgh? They are home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're home against Carolina tonight as well.
Look at that. 6 o'clock start time.
Love the 6 o'clock start time.
On a Wednesday.
I went to a 6 o'clock start time game, and it was perfect. You get out of the game at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You're home by like 9:30, depending where you live. And it's like peak.
Yep.
Just do every game at 6 o'clock, please.
Also have some college football news. Not too surprising. He kind of mentioned it right before the Ohio State game. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is heading to the NFL draft. I think he's
Arch Manning, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, he's expected to probably be, I would say, late first, probably early second, just because of his ability and what he did in college.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say, as much as I've had an up and down relationship with him, this also probably tells you how the Texas quarterback position has been most of its life. I'd probably put him at third. I would have Vince Young, Colt McCoy, Quinn Ewers. Those are the top three Texas quarterbacks of all time. With, of course, throwing in there James Street, Bobby Lane, Chris Sims. Like, those guys can be thrown in there as well as like some of the all-time great Texas quarterbacks. But I think those are the top three. None of them won a Heisman. Colt didn't win a national championship, but was awesome. Young is maybe, you know, he kind of was Cam Newton before Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder what his legacy could have been like if he was, you know, 10 years later in the NFL. But he was exceptional for his few years at Texas, and of course winning the 2005 National Championship, the 06 Rose Bowl, if you will, because of course New Year's Day. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what Arch Manning can do. He's taken over a program that is not kind of dead in the water like it was for guys like Sam Ehlinger or Shane Buechele now, who's I still believe on the Bills roster as well. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. We got one more segment before we get you over to Sabres Live. Again, the Sabres do play tonight against Carolina. 6 p.m. start time, which means our Steve Foley Law pregame show will get underway at 5 o'clock. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.